It's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, as we talk some Cleveland Browns football right here, right now with Fox 8's own John Telich. JT, how are you doing today?
Doing great, sir. Weird that it's a bye week, but I think it's something that the Browns absolutely 100% needed. They probably needed it about a month ago, but I guess they'll take it when they get it.
For sure. And this is a moment on the schedule that we all kind of circled when it first came out, right? Baltimore bye week, Baltimore. Ooh, it just kind of seemed scary at the start of things,
yeah.
And now we're living it. And coming off the 16-10 loss Sunday night at Baltimore, look, JT, the defense did its job, right? They came to play. You know, a couple more plays could have been made, sure, but ultimately that loss, I think, falls on the offense. But I want to talk about the defense first. What did you see that they were doing, as far as frustrating Lamar Jackson and getting him out of rhythm with that offense?
Well, first of all, I think they got better personnel on the field this time around. They had the youngster JOK play a lot of snaps, and he made some great plays. They confused him a bit in throwing windows, as evidenced by the four picks that they had. In fact, all three safeties, Rocco, came up with picks, and I know we've talked about having, you know, the safeties on the field at the same time. But we saw John Johnson III. We saw the second-year player Grant Delpit. I liked how he played. Saw him make plays. So I was really impressed with what they did. They kept Lamar from obviously he had a bad day throwing the football, as evidenced by those four picks. But he didn't go crazy running the football, where you'd see him get 140 yards and three touchdowns. They kept him in front of them for the most part. And I guess as evidence, Rocco, by his incredible physical talent, his skills, he pulled two rabbits out of a hat basically in the same series that got them that touchdown, both plays to the tight end, Mark Andrews, who's just a tremendous player. So, you know, they did a real good job with him. And so this guy is, even though they did a great job on Lamar, he kind of set history in his own regard. I saw this stat. I thought it was worth pointing out. He is the first starting quarterback in the last 6 years to win with four picks. And coming into that game on Sunday night, the record was 0-7 for guys that starting quarterbacks that threw four picks. And he became the first guy after 0-37 streak to win the game. And it also goes back to something else I sent you, which I thought is kind of interesting. The Brown, and this kind of dovetails to both sides of the football. You want them to play complementary football. They played part of it on Sunday. Great defense, offense struggled as we saw, and then special teams had their kind of hiccup moments as well. But the Browns this year, they are the first team in NFL history to lose when scoring 40 plus with 500 yards of offense and zero turnovers. That's the game you recall earlier in the year they lost to the Chargers. Why did they lose to the Chargers? Well, on that occasion, the defense just could not get Justin Herbert and the Chargers off the field. The Chargers continued to score left and right. And also, I believe that's the last game that the Browns had a touchdown in the fourth quarter. And then you get your way towards 4 or 5 nights ago in Baltimore. They are the first team to lose when getting four interceptions in a game in one season. And so putting those two stats together, the enormous offense and yet losing, and then the phenomenal defense with the four picks and losing as well, no one's ever done that in the NFL before. The Browns are the first team. And so you go back to Sunday night, and all you wanted was just one sustained drive late in the game in order to give the Browns an opportunity to tie the game or even go ahead, obviously, with a touchdown and an extra point, and they just couldn't get it done.
And, you know, obviously the offensive struggles that were highlighted mightily after that disappointing loss in Sunday night. Like you mentioned there, JT, anytime you can intercept Lamar Jackson four times, that's a pretty good recipe for a win, but ultimately it didn't happen for the Browns. So, I'll just ask you your thoughts on this. A lot of people point out, at least from what I've seen on social media, oh, Kevin Stefanski, he's abandoning the run. He's given up on that way too easily. They're throwing it way too much. In your eyes, JT, is that really true, or are opposing defenses such as the Ravens just kind of – stacking the box and waiting for that run game to come to them.
Well, I definitely saw, and I'm sure you saw a million screenshots, and I saw before the snap on a lot of occasions, that they had, you know, 8 to 9 guys in the box, or sometimes just lined up 5 guys on the defensive line and let the Browns offensive line figure out a way to block them all. They certainly missed Jack Conklin, albeit he only played part of that first quarter. And I think they missed having an extra weapon to go downfield from the second quarter injury to Harrison Bryant, where he sustained a high ankle sprain. And you saw a little glimpse of what Kareem Hunt could bring to the team, but he only had 7 or 8 carries. He got tight with his calf, and so he wasn't available, I don't think, down the stretch. I know there were questions to Kevin after the game about, why didn't you use Kareem? And that was his, you know, the medical people were telling me that he kind of tightened up. And so they have to you know, measure themselves as they go forward, how much he can handle. Certainly the bye will help him. So a lot of things come together, but I do think that they did not stick with the run enough. And I know people would say, you're just banging your heads against the wall with 8, 9 guys in the box, but I just don't think they gave it as much. And I think also coming into the game, you can allow yourself to get talked into maybe making a philosophical switch, if you will,
yeah,
if things aren't going well, when you know that you're going into a game against the team with the second best production in the National Football League against the run, only 88 yards a game. And so you, in some ways, you probably could talk yourself, all right, listen, yeah, they're making us throw a little bit more. You know, Kevin would be saying that. And because, you know, we have to do other things because there's those 8, 9 guys in the box. That's a huge problem. They just couldn't counter them. And obviously had a very frustrating night on the offensive side of the football. Baker, 3 times this year he's had an opportunity, got the ball with a chance to win the game. He's 0-for-3. Mm. I'll give him this. He did have a couple of drops when he needed some catches to be made, but he would say he's, you know, got to make better throws. He's still not 100% healthy, but if he's out there on the field, he should be able to make the plays that are necessary to have a winning football team, or you just shouldn't put him out there.
John Telich is our guest here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. So, JT, the lack of complementary football really seems to be plaguing this team this year. When the defense shows up, there's no offense. When the offense shows up like they did in L.A. against the Chargers, the defense was left back in Cleveland, I guess. They didn't get on the plane. So how exactly does this team get those two sides to synchronize? Is there really even a secret to that, or is that just a matter of, hey, we got to just make it happen on Sunday?
Well, I'm still, you know, I know Joe Woods has gotten a lot of criticism this year, but I think by and large, if you look at recent with the hiccup a couple of weeks ago against the Patriots, mm-hmm. I mean, they've done a pretty decent job. And I thought we saw Sunday night, and maybe it's more because they matched up better with the Baltimore offense, but, you know, they limited them to 16 points. They did get run on, you know, they ran for close to 150 yards. They've got some big bruisers up front. Lamar was still their leading rusher, which is, you know, when you have a guy with his phenomenal talent, he's going to take off running on occasions, and he had 60-some yards or whatever. But I think that, you know, they have done a pretty decent job, but they have to be scratching their head themselves. If they go out there and do a job, get a pick on this quarterback, get 4 picks, and then turn around and see the offense just not able – you know, to get something done. As many deficiencies as you want to point out on the offensive side of the football, and I think you could say injuries, you could say the quarterback's been hot and cold, you could say they abandoned the run game at times, you also have to look across the line of scrimmage and see that Wink Martindale is a pretty good defensive coordinator, and he has a track record. And I think Kevin against Wink, you know, Kevin's offense against Wink's defense, you know, over the course of some of these encounters over the next few years, Wink's going to win his, you know, more than his share of those because they've got a track record, and that's what Kevin's up against. You know, he has a second-year system, and he has to be more diverse into how he calls his offense. He's come under question for that. His boss says, Kevin, you know, Kevin's been successful doing things the way he's done them. So I don't anticipate any kind of a change of having Alex Van Pelt call plays. And, you know, that's just the way it is. We'll see if this bye is the tonic that they need, or is this just going to spiral to a situation where you may remember Dave Glazer, a very good sports writer for the Willoughby News Herald. He's been in the business for many, many years. And, you know, although he's retired, he opined, as we are wont to do on Twitter, and, you know, and I happen to agree with him, is that this has a lot of that 1980/81 feel to it. Everything clicked in 80. They were the cardiac kids. They went to the playoffs. They were an interception away from going real deep into the playoffs. And then assumption was things would just kind of be on track the next year. Schedule is tougher. All those games they were winning by a whisker, they were losing by. And so here they were going from 11-5 to 5-11. And the Browns just came off of an 11-5 season.
Oh boy!
And we're not sure what the end result is. And you know, Rocco, they do. The league is the way it's set up. I think we were talking earlier before we went on about how many teams are 5 wins or more this year.
Yeah.
It's the most ever in NFL history that there's more teams. I think they said there's. I don't have the exact figure here, but let's just say it's more than usual. So you're not really that far away from being super horrific, or you're not that far away from being like in the middle of the pack.
Right.
It's a weird year. So a Browns fan would say, oh, my gosh, you got the Packers. You've got teams with, you know, winning records the rest of the way, the Ravens at 8-3, the Bengals at 7-4. You got these teams that are in front of you. But yet again, you're not that far out, because if everybody else kind of just operates the way they have this season, where it's been so kind of mediocre in many ways, you still have an opportunity, as crazy as it sounds, with 2.5 games out of the lead in the division. It's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. I mean, people are just beating each other up throughout the course of the season. There's just a lot of balance across the league, like we talked about. There's just not, you know, the real dominant teams, and even the ones at the top of the standings, they've shown they're vulnerable at multiple times throughout this season. So it'll be an interesting push to the finish. So, hey, you know, at 6-6 with 7 games left after this bye week, JT, and like we've talked about, a tough schedule ahead. Who is under 500 a possibility for this Cleveland Browns team in your eyes?
Well, that, you know, sitting at 6 wins, that would mean they, let's just say, they go get 2 wins the rest of the way. They've got the Raiders. That certainly is a winnable game. And they've shown they can beat the Bengals. And obviously with Pittsburgh, they let that one get away. Mm-hmm. That is a game that they absolutely could have won, but they did lose to it by a 16-10 count, I think it was. They only scored 10 points. So, you know, there's a possibility that they could finish out this season with just 2 more wins out of the next 5. And yet again, with, as everybody, as you said, Rocco, everybody being kind of like blasé, mediocre, there's a chance for, if they catch fire, people get healthy, like the wide receiver room performs better than it has, the quarterback performs better, then there's an opportunity for them to avoid what you said, which would be that losing record at 8-9.
There is just 5 games left. I said 7. I apologize for that. That's my University of Akron education letting me down wholeheartedly right there. Hate to see that. But anyway, yeah, 5 games left for the Brownies. A much-needed bye week this week. And again, those dastardly Ravens just sitting on the other side of the bye week, as the Browns will meet up with them again, this time in Cleveland. JT, thank you again very much for your time here this morning. I really appreciate it. Enjoy the bye week, and we'll get back at it next week to talk some more Browns-Ravens.
Yeah, I look forward to that, and I know, just want to say one real quick thing. Kudos to the Avon football team. That was a great effort they had. I know they didn't come out with a win. They battled back and almost stole one from Hoban, and Coach has done a great job year after year. Kudos to them on the season that they had. Came within a whisker, guys, of making it to the state championship game.
Well, so, and they turned it around so much this season. The loss to Avon Lake early, a couple of stumbles out of the gate, if you will, and for them to play Hoban as well as they did, I don't know if anybody would have thought that early on this year, but yet they managed to do it and almost come away with the victory. So, yeah, big hats off to Mike Elder and friends over there for sure.
Congratulations to those guys. Great year. And good luck to all the teams. We have a whole bunch of Northeast Ohio teams that are playing for state titles this week. Good luck to all those teams as they take to the field Thursday, Friday, and or Saturday.
Absolutely. Thank you, JT. Take care, man.
All right, buddy. See you.